like I've already been to church. So, you know, just some good things going on. How many of you know this? Everybody here knows God's good, right? And, you know, we need to be giving God glory for everything, right? You know, we need to be coming into church primed up, ready to go. You know, but I'm going to preach tonight on something a little bit different because sometimes we get a little dry. Sometimes we just don't want to. Sometimes our get up and go just got up and went. And we come in and we sit down in church and, you know, and I've been guilty of it, just sitting there looking at my feet or something, you know, and switch around and don't want to open up my Bible when you know, go to the right pages and stuff. So tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. And I just hope, well, honestly, I don't care if I make somebody mad or not, but that's just my nature because this is the hardest place for me to preach is right here. I have preached in front of thousands of people. I preach at the University of Arizona in front of over 6,000 teenagers. And it didn't bother me. But I can come in here to this church, and it bothers me every time I have to really get prayed up and get ready to go. And so I can't just jump into one of my evangelistic sermons that I have got canned up to when I go somewhere and preach. I have to really get a hold of God. I told Kelly a few minutes ago, I started to call her Friday and tell her, I'm not going to preach Sunday. Because I've all told God as I've gotten older, if I haven't got something from you, I said, I can always warm something up, and 99% of the people, it ain't going to make a bit of difference in the world. They're just like, oh, man, that's good. And sometimes the canned stuff comes out better than the real stuff. Right? So tonight we're going to get some real stuff. Ezekiel chapter 37. And man, if you ain't been there, I love the Old Testament. I like Ezekiel. I like Daniel. And you know, I just love it there. I could almost live there. But I especially tonight, I'm feeling this. I think the church has gotten to a point to where it is dry. Doesn't mean that the church is dead. I mean, sometimes we get churches get caught up so much in programs and stuff that they forget about the Holy Spirit. They forget about the power of God. They forget about people, you know, not necessarily people getting saved, but how about people getting filled with the Holy Ghost? How about a Holy Ghost revival? You know, we were talking about revival a while ago. They were singing about it. Some of us have never seen revival. And it's time. It's time to get stirred up. The Word talks about stirring up the gifts that's within you. See, each of you are given a gift. Each of you have gifts. And you know, like Pastor Kelly was talking about wanting to get more people involved and doing many different things. I want to tell you something. We need to become involved in the ministry of God and what God has put in your life and what God has shown you.
Yes,
none of you can stir me up. I have to stir myself up. And when I feel bad, I tell you what, I have to talk to myself till I feel good. You know, I tell my clients, by the way, I work with drug addicts every day, and they're all felons. And, you know, and some I work with murderers. I work with rapists. You name it, I work with it. But you know what I tell them? I said, you need something more than what the state or what prison is going to give you. What you need is Jesus Christ. And you need an overdose of Him. You need an outpouring of Him. You know, I look at my brother-in-law, Sam. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, he'd still be digging in the dumpsters in Chicago. Or he'd probably be dead beside one of them. Yeah. Living in one, he said, I think, right? You say he'd be living in one? First thing I think that needs to happen in church is, number one, we need to come thirsty. We need to come desiring for God to do something and expecting God to do something. I always, when I would preach revivals, I always expected God to do something. I expected a move of the Holy Ghost. I expected people to get saved. Matter of fact, I was downright disappointed if it didn't happen. I'm expecting some of you to be touched by the power of God tonight. I'm expecting some of these teenagers that don't want to look up here to get touched by God tonight. I'm expecting that. Ezekiel 37 and 1. And I'm going to be using my old Bible tonight because me and this old Bible, we just go back a long, long ways. And there's notes and stuff in this that you just wouldn't believe. 37 and 1 says this. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. See, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Have you ever been carried out in the Spirit of God? See, that's something we need to think about because, Pastor, we've got some young people here that's never been carried out in the Spirit of God. We've got adults here that's probably never been carried off in the Spirit. I remember one time, the first time that I had a real awakening of the power of God. Me and another little independent Baptist preacher, Pastor Angelo's heard this story before. Some of you have. I'll give you the condensed version. We were coming home from a prayer meeting. And where my farm was in Texas, there was a lake. And on that lake was a dock that went out in the lake. And it was like January, and it was cold. So we got the bright idea, you know, as good independent Baptist preachers do, that we was going to stop and pray and save the whole world real quick. So I went out there, and I got on the end of that dock, and I started praying. And all of a sudden, things started happening that I'd never seen before. I saw like a ball of fire roll across that lake. And it come right up underneath that dock. And I could look down in there, Pastor Kelly, and there were people reaching out saying, help me, help me, help me. Well, we got in the car, and we started leaving. And I didn't say a thing to this other guy. And it was like 25 degrees outside. And he said, brother, could you feel the heat off of that water? Could you feel it? He couldn't see it, but he could feel something. That was my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. And from that day on, I started seeking after God in my life. I started seeking the power of God in my life. I started asking. I started reading more. I started getting involved with the things of the Spirit to a point to where I got disfellowshipped from our association. They put my picture in the paper and actually said, we're disfellowshipping this pastor, and this pastor. Three of us. But I was carried away in the Spirit, it says here, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. I believe this is actually, see, the Old Testament is pictures of things. It's pictures. I think that's a picture of the church. The church nowadays, it's not so much I'm coming for the power of God and the love of God. It's what can you do for me? What kind of program do you have for me today? What can you do for my kids? And I can remember when if a child didn't want to set up in church, he would get called down from the pulpit because you and I have both done that before. Kelly goes, been there, done it on both ends. And it says, it caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto them. O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. That word breath is the Spirit of God. I will cause breath. See, there's a lot of people that are coming to church and they're walking around dead. Because they've not had breath believed into them. You know, there's a lot of people that may be saved, but they've never really experienced that breath of God. See, because before you can do anything really for God, you have to have that breath breathed into you. And you have to be willing to follow after Him. Say, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. You know, if you want me to come from California to Arkansas, that's okay.
Right.
Or from Arkansas to Texas to California to Virginia to there and there and there and then back to Arkansas. We'll do that too. And he says, and I will lay suin upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know I am God. You know, there's a lot of people that they may be strong, but they have no muscle of God. You hear me? They have no muscle of God. They've not got the suin of God. They've not got that muscle of God. They've got, you know, they can lift 300-400 pounds, or some of them even 500-600 pounds. But guess what? When they get in the spiritual realm, they're afraid. They're afraid. I remember one time, and I'll make this short because it's short on time, but I was in Belize with the military. And we rented a boat to go out and go diving off of the coast. And our boat got lost in the Caribbean. And it's, the ocean is big, folks. And this was like a 25-foot boat. You know, that's a pretty big boat for around here. But it had two big motors on the back of it. And finally, the guy told us, he said, we got about a gallon of gas left, of fuel left. So we found a, what they call mangrove islands along the, and he anchored off of there. I laid down and went to sleep. Rest of them stayed up all night long. And they asked me the next day, because when we woke up the next morning, we looked over there, and the place we were going was just about 400 yards from us. And they said, how could you lay down and go to sleep? And I said, the peace of God.
Amen.
The peace of God. I rolled up my Ranger blanket and slept like a baby, even though it was raining. But what we're talking about is muscle of God. Being strong in the things of God. Being strong in the love of God. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. We've seen that, haven't we? Had a revival out here one time, a guy that was, his, was broken down and couldn't work, and we prayed for him. I'd made fun of Shambach because he took a bucket of oil and he was, and the Lord told me that night, and you was out there with me when we did that, and the Lord said, if you will pray for him like Shambach did, I will heal him. I told the pastors, how much oil you got back there? So let's get it all together. And so what we did is we prayed for the guy, and you could actually hear the bones coming together. Then he got mad because he lost his Social Security, but, you know, that's beside the point. I never understood that. Then he said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, And they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are the church. These bones are the church. Because a lot of our church nowadays is dry. And if you go in and try to preach even a message like I'm preaching tonight, some of them run you out the door. They won't endure. See, the word talks about not enduring sound doctrine. This is pretty sound stuff, folks. This is basic Jesus, basic believer. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for all our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. You know, there's going to be a day when the graves open up, folks. There's going to be a day when everyone that's dead in Christ is going to rise. There's going to be a day. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you. Listen. He will put his spirit in you. See, back in these days, the spirit would come upon people. You know, like Samson, the spirit come upon him. He'd slay the lion. The Spirit come upon them, they'd do certain else. We have the opportunity now for the Spirit to come upon us and infill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that God did, oh man, just everything. There's nothing, absolutely nothing impossible with God. I put my Spirit within you and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord and have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Let's go to John 14. I'm going to read 16 too to give you sort of a start. I'd like to read the whole thing, but we don't have time. I'd like to go through word by word and teach the whole thing. But it says, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, this was Jesus talking, and what was happening is he knew what was fixed. He knew he was going to be crucified. He knew what had to be done. And he said, Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall, what? Be in you. Man. We're talking about the very Spirit of God being able to infill and become a part of each one of these young people sitting here, each one of us sitting here. Part of me. It says, shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live. See, because we live, he's living through us. See, we are his voice here on the earth today. We are the ones that lay hands on people. We're the ones that believe for people to be healed. We're the ones. I remember when I used to preach a lot of youth revivals and stuff, some of the most powerful people I ever met were 15, 16 years old. I mean, powerful in the things of God, Brother Angelo. I mean, would lay hands on the sick and things would happen. Some of the most powerful people. And I believe that's what we're trying to raise up here now is young men and women that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, that will take it into Paris High School and Scranton and Magazine and wherever they go. Verse 26, it says, or verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. We don't like the word Holy Ghost, do we? People don't like to hear Holy Ghost. I will tell you what, I'm a Holy Ghost filled, pew jumping, rolling in the floor. Do whatever I have to do. Now, I'm getting old. If I get down and start rolling the floor, somebody has to help me up. But that's okay. It's still inside me. My little friend back there that sits with me every service, he said, Baker, sing louder. He doesn't know what's happening inside of me. I'm not a singer. You don't want to hear it. But there's a lot of things going on inside me that nobody knows. Amen. Nobody knows. I'm a quiet man most of the time. But there are times I can get loud. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. See, we could go back to verse 12, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, it's not on, y'all don't have this, so that's fine. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me the works that I do, he shall do also, and what? Greater works. Than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. But see, there are some things that have to happen before you can do those works. Number one, you need to be saved. See, we can fix that quick tonight. You know, if you don't know Jesus, we can fix that. We can lead you in a prayer. We got many people here that could lead you in prayer. Brother Angelo's up here. Pastor Kelly's up here. Arnie's up here. I'm up here. Our youth pastors are up here. You know, there's somebody here that can tell you how to get to the throne. That's just the first step, folks. Acts chapter 2. See, we make the first step. We get saved. We know about the Comforter. We know about the Holy Ghost. But now we need to get the Holy Ghost. We need to get it. What makes... Some of it makes some people uncomfortable to talk about Holy Ghost. Would you rather me say Holy Spirit? I like Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, I've been in churches where if you said Holy Spirit, they would correct you. They would absolutely correct you. I was preaching in a black church down in Mississippi, and you didn't read your own scripture. You gave them, they took your Bible, and they would read your scripture. And then when you got ready to go on to scripture, you'd say, read on, reader. Read on. And they would get all excited sometimes, and they'd start adding stuff into the read on. But that's what the Holy Ghost does. He sometimes adds stuff in here that we maybe haven't planned. See, my plans sometimes don't work out the way I want them to, but God's plan always works.
Yeah, amen.
Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, there had been some prep up to this. They'd been praying. They sort of separated themselves up, and they started seeking God because Jesus told them, he says, I'm going to send you a comforter, and when that comforter comes, he's going to teach you and bring everything into remembrance whatsoever I've taught you. And says, everything, you've seen these miracles I've done, says you will be able to do them and even more because you go to be with the Father.
Amen.
You know what I think the greatest miracle is? Salvation. 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 Oh, this is where it gets good. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Can you just, you know, this afternoon, I walked outside and it was hailing. I went and stood on the steps. If it got to be big hail, I would have went back inside, but it was just a little one, and I just got to thinking about it. The power and the glory, and the wind was blowing right in my face. And I thought, man, is this like that rushing mighty wind? And the Holy Spirit says, this ain't nothing. This ain't nothing. He said, grab hold of your bootstraps, because guess what? There's going to be some things coming that you won't be able to explain, and no man will be able to explain, because guess what? The Comforter has come and is here. Well, I'm saved. I'm glad you're saved. Are you filled? See, we don't like the next verse. Lots of places I've been, they'll stop at verse 2. Won't read verse 3. It says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've got to share this. I know we're short on time, but when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I've been seeking for like 3 years. And I would go to churches, and Pastor, I would beg. I beg God. I don't know. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want it. I've read about it. I want it. And I had this old deacon named James Majors. He was my first deacon. And we were having a prayer meeting before a revival. And we were in the front of the church praying, Brother Mike. And I was there begging God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And he laid hands on me. He says, God, fill him so this dumb preacher will shut up. And it was like fire came from heaven. I can remember it today. It was like fire come from heaven. It was like some electricity went through my body. And I jumped up and I started praising God and I started running. And I run outside and I got in my Jeep and I took off. And it was like 11 o'clock at night and I got home at 8 o'clock the next morning. They said the last time they saw me, the Jeep was leaving the parking lot. No headlights were on. I said, I had lights y'all couldn't see. And I'd go a little ways, Brother Mike, and I'd jump out of that Jeep, and I'd run around it shouting. Drive a little bit further, get out of my Jeep, here I'd go again. That's a God experience. My life has never been the same since then. Tore my little Baptist doctrine all up. Listen, the Holy Spirit is here tonight. Amen. And there may be somebody here saying, look, I've been filled before, but I'm just dry. I'm just dry. I just need a touch. I need a drink of water. Listen, God wants to touch you. The Holy Spirit wants to touch you. He wants to fill you. He wants to fill you with His power. He wants to fill you with His love. He just wants to fill you. He wants to be that friend that will stick closer to you than a brother. He wants to be that being, that deity that will walk with you every day. And when you have to go into a hard place, He's going to say, don't worry about it, I'm there. Well, you went to jail. First time you went to jail, for nerve-wracking, wasn't it? Second time, it gets easier. Then you start realizing, guess what? The Holy Spirit's with me wherever I go. I get asked all the time, how do you deal with a rapist? I said, the same way I deal with anybody else that's got sin. The same way. How do you deal with a murderer? The same way. Listen, it's not because of Larry Baker. It's not because of Pastor Kelly or Pastor Angelo. It's not because of the Schaefers. It's because of the Holy Ghost within them. It gives you the power to stand up in the front of adversity and say, devil, it ain't going to work this time. Say, well, I'd like to have that. I'd like to have that kind of feeling in my life. I'd like to see the Holy Spirit just come over me to where I'd be laying on a old boat dock and it get hot under me. I'd like that. Listen, now's the time to get it. See, because I won't tell you what happens. The minute you walk out this door, the devil's going to start telling you that's a bunch of garbage. He will start telling you that's a lie. He will start telling you that you can't be filled, that you're not worthy of it. He'll start telling you, hey, look, you've gone too far. You're too dry to have water poured on you. I want to tell you something. He wants to dump a bucket of water on you. My wife told me not to be pointing her out, so I'm not going to. I get in trouble. Some of you need a drink. If you need a drink, now's the time. Pastor Kelly's up here. Brother Angelo's up here. Y'all come on up here. Now's the time. Hey, I'm not going to beg you, because let me tell you what, you've got to come to a point to where you want the Holy Spirit, you want that Holy Ghost more than you want anything else. And I can stand before the throne of God and say, I did what you told me. I didn't want to. I wanted to call Pastor Kelly and say, I'm bowing out Sunday night. And God said, no way, Jose. Get yourself in there and do what you do. Anybody, before we close out, want to be prayed for? If you do, get up here. I'll pray for you, or they will pray for you. Makes me no difference. Some of you teenagers will be prayed for. Your youth pastors are right here. Come on. Come on. Some of y'all need the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all need to turn loose and let God go. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let the power of God come upon people. Hey, buddy. Hey. So, well, I don't need nothing. I want to tell you something. You do. You do. You do, don't you? Both of y'all do. Father, I pray for this lady right now. I know that she's a spirit-filled woman. She loves God. She talks in tongues. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that the end be stronger than the beginning, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just believe that. We believe it. I pray for your daughter. I never have forgot her, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I lift her up right now in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you give this mother the power and the ability to just continue to pray for that daughter in the Holy Spirit, Father. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Let go and let God's Spirit move upon you.